Hello, hello, hello.
Hey.
You didn't match my energy then.
Oh, sorry. Hello, Governor.
Accent. Energy. Energy accent.
Well, there's a different sort of energy with a Cockney accent.
Yeah, I know. You can't be dull. You can't be dull when you're talking like a bruv. There's this meme of a snake with big teeth that have you seen it?
Like stereotypical British teeth. Not fangs.
Chompers.
Chompies. Okay, yeah.
Oh,
I haven't seen it, no.
So irrelevant. Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode 28 of Two Flat Whites. If you're new here, my name is Laura or Ladu.
Alex or Dero. Alex sounds weird. No one calls me Alex.
Your name sounds weird.
A lot of people
weird.
Call me Alex. You don't call me Alex.
No, I don't call you Alex ever. No. That's why I didn't want to say it.
Yeah, well.
And that is Alex.
Even though it's like Alex and Laura, but it's Ladu and Dero.
Yes. Yeah. Today we've got a fun-filled episode lined up for you. We've got a juicy 10-minute D&M that we're going to go through, as well as some get-to-know-you questions. Ooh, my top's falling off.
You little
don't get too excited.
Gang.
My cardigan slipping.
We've got a
down.
Really exciting episode for you today.
Yes, I just want to rip my clothes off.
We're going to play strip pod.
Strip pod.
Yes. Each segment, lose some clothes.
Well, that's only four items of clothing.
I'm only wearing four items of
Me
clothing.
Me too. We'd be nude.
Do you
no,
not have
I
socks?
Have socks on.
If you count each sock, I'm wearing five, can so I can keep my underwear.
Okay. Can I count my slippers?
You're wearing them, yes.
Are they clothes?
Sure.
Okay.
For the sake of not getting naked on the pod, yes.
But you will be naked. I won't.
I'll be in my underwear.
You just want to see me in my socks.
Yes. Yes, you must take off the bra before the slippers.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Anyway.
Anyway.
What else? We've got some get to know you cues. We haven't done get to know you segment in a while.
Not this season.
And some Reddit reacts, crowd faves.
Yes.
And shall we hop straight into it with a my miserable moment?
Yes.
Okay.
Have you had any misery this last fortnight, Ladu?
Yes, I have had misery. Misery loves me.
Nice. Yeah, Mizdu.
Mizdu. I mean, it's a kind of another maternity miserable moment.
Yeah.
I mashed that up badly. My maternity moment.
Yes.
Anyway, I feel like I'm just complaining about being pregnant.
That's fair. I'd be complaining if I was pregnant.
Yeah, you can complain. You have the right to complain.
Yes.
I'm not complaining about being pregnant. I'm complaining about pregnancy side effects.
Yes.
Because a lot of them are just bad. They're bad. I just don't think people understand or appreciate how much actually changes in the body when you're pregnant. It's like everything that used to work one way, every system in your body is like, oh, we're going to just change it now.
Yes.
And it's all fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't shit for 3 days last week.
Yep. Did you do the big... Yesterday was the poo day, the release day?
I think it was yesterday or the day before. Jesus, I felt good after that. But, like, it's just... And I have to take, like, stool softeners because this constipation is just, like, you know, a symptom of pregnancy.
Yeah, you got a baby pushing on your bowels.
No matter how many veggies I eat, no matter how many stool softeners I take or I drink like 2 liters of water a day, it doesn't help. And I was still just like, where are my poops?
Yep.
I'd poo at 9 o'clock every morning.
And you eat more.
And I'm eat, yeah, exactly. Mm. So, I mean, if you guys are ever just sitting alone in your house in the morning at 9 o'clock, you can think to yourself, Laura's pooing right now.
There you go.
And you and I will be in sync.
I'll have to check my phone next time I poo and be like, we're pooing at the same time.
Yeah, we might be pooing at the same time.
Mm.
Anyway.
Shouldn't use your phones on the loo.
Why? Because they get particles of poo.
E. coli and stuff, yeah.
Oh, but mine comes with me always.
Yes, well, I shouldn't touch each other's phones, really, should you?
No.
No. Bit pink eye from a phone.
I don't touch anyone else's phone.
Don't you?
Not really. We should sanitize our phones more often.
We should.
I don't do that.
I always
either.
Sanitize mine after I've been like into the city for work and I've been on the trains.
I don't reckon.
I just like do a wet wipe over
I
them.
Don't.
When I first got this phone, I was like, it's a new, I'm not taking it to the loo with me.
Oh.
Lasted like 3 days. I used to never do it. Suddenly something switched. I'm like, oh, I've done it every day for the last year.
Yeah, but the thing is, if you take your phone with you into the toilet, right?
Yep.
You're taking it in there. And then like you're using it while you're doing your business. And then like I put it down to wipe and flush, yes, and then wash my hands.
Yep.
And by the time I touch it again, my hands are clean.
Yep.
So unless you're picking it up and using it and touching it with your hands while you're wiping your ass, it shouldn't really be a problem.
Yeah, it's just the stuff like floating around. But yeah, as long as you haven't touched anything, then touched the phone, yeah, it should be fine.
But then you could say that the same thing about anything in your bathroom.
Hmm. Yeah, well, like your towels, I guess, yeah, true. This is why they say don't keep your toothbrush on the counter.
No, exactly, because it gets full of poo.
One time I was trying not to use my phone on the loo and I had it in my pocket.
Yes.
And I pulled up my pants and it fell out of my pocket into the toilet.
That happened to me, except when I was sitting, when I was pulling my pants down, it fell out of my back pocket.
And this is what we get for not using our phones on the loo.
I know. And this was a long time ago, actually, but it was even worse. Because it wasn't my own toilet. It was at uni.
That's so bad.
I know. And I had to stick my hand in the toilet and get it out.
Did you have a moment when you're like, should I just flush the phone?
I didn't know what to do. My friend, Jenny, was in the stall next to me. I was like, Jenny, my phone's in the toilet. And she was like, get it out. I'm like, I'm not putting my hand in the toilet. She was like, put your hand in the toilet. And I had to.
At least the toilet was clean. You hadn't used it yet. Well, clean. You hadn't pooped in it yet.
Yeah, just 100 other people had pooed in it. Anyway,
yeah, very gross.
This is besides the point. My miserable moment is that I think I'm experiencing, well, I know I'm experiencing, I've forgotten the technical word for it, when your abdominal muscles separate.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'd been having like pains in like just under my belly button, like a few times, like when I've like, if I'd like been leaning over for too long. Like, what was I doing the other week? I was, like, taking nail polish off my toes. So, I was leaned over for, like, 2 minutes. When I sat back up, I was in, like, excruciating pain. I was like, oh, my God, have I just squashed my unborn child? And no, I didn't.
He's happy in his little sack. He's
still in the sack, swimming around.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't understand what just happened then, but okay. And then I asked my doctor about it, and she was like, yeah, that sounds like if it's in the center – it sounds like you're not having like, because you can have, it's kind of like your pelvic muscles that attach to your uterus. They stretch.
Yeah.
And then you get like side pain. I've forgotten the name for it. Anyway, it doesn't matter. This is different. And my doctor was like, basically avoid anything that is like resembles like an ab crunch.
Yeah.
Okay. So like try not to bend over too much or like be bent over too like often in that like crouched, like down position. Don't do any exercises that do that. And so I did the opposite of her advice and we gardened on the weekend. And to be fair, I was like aware that I was doing it and I was like, I'm not going to go too hard. So I was like doing some weeding and like every time I bent down, I was making sure I wasn't bending from the waist. I was bending at my knees, but there were moments where I was like bent over a little bit. And then by like after about an hour in the garden, I was like, I feel like fucked. I was like, I need to go lie down or have a shower or something because my stomach was so sore.
Yeah.
And I was like, is it the stretching? Is it like, what is happening? And it's been very sore ever since. And I think I'm definitely experiencing the muscle separation thing. Mm. And now I can't bend over at all. Yeah. It hurts to just sit here. It's so annoying. And I'm like, I don't want that to happen. What will happen? My stomach's just going to turn to sludge.
The image I have is Babemo being like, at the middle. Just like splitting you right down the middle.
At the middle.
Yeah.
But yes, I can't like lift things, can't bend down. I'm like, well, now it's better, but like it's still very sore. And I'm like, I hope this isn't the whole time.
Yeah.
Because you bend down a lot more than you think. And especially like having pets, having cats, like to feed them, to pat them. I'm always like, like reaching,
please, mother.
Yes, give me love. And I'm like, I can't reach you. Anyway,
my level babies.
I've just had to be on my knees more often than crouched. Mm.
Can't bend. Bend at the knees. This is you squatting down at the knees.
Yes, yeah, squatting. Yeah. Anyway, that's my miserable moment. Great. But it's not miserable. I'm actually feeling like super positive this week about being pregnant. I've been so up and down, like. Just with the moods and the hormones, it does weird things to your brain. Some weeks I'm like, what have I done? And then other weeks I'm like, this is amazing.
Yes.
I'm having more amazing moments than not amazing moments lately. Cool. I'm hoping things are leveling out a bit because, wow, it's been a wild ride in my brain.
Sounds good.
The last 5 months.
Baby euphoria.
Mm.
Great.
What's your miserable moment?
Really quick summary. I got a PlayStation 5 on launch day.
Yeah, and I remember you had some issues with it not working and then you got a new one.
I didn't. So from the get-go, it's made... Sometimes when it's reading a disc, it just makes this really loud buzzing noise, like very loud.
Like it's chewing your discs?
Like it's chewing my discs. Like it's just, like bad. Sometimes it's like really loud. Sometimes it's kind of like a quiet little buzzing, but it's really annoying. It's really distracting. It sounds really annoy me. So I too. Yes. At the time, I didn't try and... Like, I couldn't exchange it because there was a massive PlayStation shortage for the first few years because of COVID. There was a chip shortage. So, everything from cars, bunch of electronics, including PlayStations, they couldn't get chips for them. So, massively understocked. So, if I returned it, I could have got a refund, but I couldn't get a replacement. And I was like, well, I'd rather have a PlayStation than not have a PlayStation.
Yeah.
But then I made a YouTube video about it and... a bunch of people commented on my video and said, like, you should return it to Sony. And then I tried to return it to Sony. Long story short, spent about 6 weeks with them not replying to me via email. They just take a couple of weeks between replies. They repeat the same information back. They'd be like, we sent you an email back on this day. And I'd be like, yeah, and I replied to it and you never replied to me. Like, horrible customer service from Sony. And then they finally agreed to fix it after I sent them 3 emails in 2 weeks being like, hello, you still haven't replied to me. Hello, you still haven't replied to me. And then they finally replied and said, send your PlayStation back. I thought they fixed it. Long story short, they didn't. The issue came back. And then they said, we're not going to fix it because it's out of warranty. So that was the thing.
Oh, so you actually had to send your PlayStation off.
Yeah, I had to send it off to them for a couple of weeks. Then they sent it back again, boxed it all up, came back. They said if it was faulty, they'd give me a replacement one. They decided that it wasn't. They didn't say anything about whether they'd fixed it or not, but it seemed like they had. It was a bit quieter, but then tried a different game after a while and it was incredibly loud. And I was like, okay, so they haven't fixed it.
So they wouldn't fix it because it wasn't under warranty.
I'm not sure what they did in the, like if they did anything or what, but then after they'd had it, I contacted them again and said the issue persists. And they were like, well, we can't do anything about it because it's out of warranty now.
But didn't you contact them before it was out of warranty?
Yeah, this is what I was saying. So I'm like, I contacted you beforehand and like the issue, clearly you can check this email chain. The issue was there and I contacted you within warranty and you didn't fix it. And now you're saying it's out of warranty and you won't fix it. And they were like, there's nothing we can do. There's nothing we can do. So it was pretty much like...
And there's no way you can call, like, is there? Can you call them?
The first time I called them, how I got onto the email in the first place, I spent 1 hour and 20 minutes on the phone. And the whole conversation took like 5 minutes. And the guy was like, yeah, that sounds faulty. Here's the information. So, yeah, horrible customer service. But so then I made another YouTube video updating the world, my subscribers on my gaming channel on YouTube. And essentially they were like, a bunch of people were like, why don't you report it to the ACCC?
Yeah.
And then I was like, maybe I should do that. So anyway, I finally got around to reporting it to the ACCC. And then they were like, you need to contact Consumer Affairs. So then I reported it to Consumer Affairs. I thought that was Consumer Affairs. Apparently it's different. Like Consumer Affairs Victoria as opposed to ACCC for Australia. And Consumer Affairs were like, the Consumer Affairs were actually really good. Somebody from them called me and the guy was like, look, pretty much have you tried returning it to EB Games where you bought it? And I was like, actually, I haven't because at the time, blah, 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 there was a chip shortage. I wouldn't have been able to get a refund or I wouldn't be able to get a replacement. And then he was like, well, because of some part of the Australian consumer law, it states that if like a product that you have isn't fit for its purchase purpose, then you can return it for a refund or a replacement or a repair from the person who sold it to you. So, and I was like, but that was like well over 2 years ago now. And he's like, it doesn't matter essentially because it is an expensive item. It's reasonable to assume that the PlayStation would last at least 3 years. Hmm. So they'd still have to replace it. And like a lot of people don't realize that it doesn't matter about their 1 year warranty. If it's an item that should reasonably last more than 3 years or whatever, you can still get a replacement or a refund from the person who sold it to you, from the company that sold it to you.
I wish I knew this because my Mac died. Like the hard drive in my old MacBook Pro died.
Mm. Yeah.
And it was like 1 month out of warranty.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't fix it.
Yeah.
Let alone replace it.
Yeah.
And I was like, you'd think you'd do that. Like I spent a lot of money.
Yep.
Like over $1,000 on this laptop. Mm-hmm. And they were like, well, sorry.
Yeah. Apparently a lot of people hide behind it. What he was saying is like, if it's not reasonable for you to buy a new one every year, for example,
yeah,
then it's not reasonable for them to refuse your refund or your replacement. So pretty much he was like, he told me like what section to cite of the Australian Consumer Law and gave me an email template. And then I sent that off to EB Games. And EB Games got back to me like pretty much straight away. And they were like, sorry for your shitty experience with Sony. We should be able to help you out.
Yeah.
Send it to us. So now I need to back up my PlayStation and send it back to them again. So it's but you're
sending it to EB Games.
I'm sending it to EB Games now, and they'll probably give me, I can ask for what I want, a replacement or a refund.
Oh, that's good.
So, yeah. It's good.
Well, that's a good outcome.
It's a good outcome. So the miserable.
Be positive.
There was a lot of misery beforehand, and the misery is I've just gotten my PlayStation back, and now I need to send it off again and hopefully get a functioning PlayStation 5. But stay tuned.
Jesus Christ.
Yes, it's just been the biggest ball ache. Like, I've spent months.
Why is it that when you spend a lot of money, they make it hard for you to, like, get what you deserve?
Yes.
It's like with the insurance stuff I went through at the start of the year. It's like, this is expensive stuff. And it's like, I'm spending a lot of money. You should be helping me and making this easy because it's not something little.
Mm-hmm.
It's like with these massive purchases, it's so difficult to get what you deserve.
Yeah. And it's so weird that like Sony's just like, no, we don't have to do anything. Doesn't make money. But then it's like, turns out you do have to do it. He also said, if you wouldn't have bought the item in the first place, if you knew about the fault, then that is also a really big indicator that you were entitled to a refund or a replacement. Because he was like, would you have bought this PlayStation knowing that it made this noise? I'm like, no, I would have bought one that didn't make this noise.
It's not supposed to make this
noise. Yeah, exactly. So he was like, well, you're entitled to a new one.
Does it make that noise the whole time you're playing a game?
No, it doesn't, thankfully. It does it like when it's starting up. And then certain PlayStation 4 games does it like really regularly throughout. It might just come on for like a minute or two sometimes. It really depends on what I'm playing. But sometimes it's so loud, it's like I literally can't hear what is happening. Like the dialogue in the game. I have to turn the TV up because I can't hear it because it's buzzing so loud.
You know what surprises me? That like in 2023, PlayStations and Xboxes still use discs.
Yeah. Yeah, I was reading an article about this last night and it seemed like it was maybe moving away from that.
Yeah.
But I think people like to have that physical thing when they make pretty much an expensive purchase.
Not that you shouldn't have a physical thing, like the Switch uses chips.
Yeah.
But I guess it's not as powerful a machine.
Mm.
But I'm sure you could come up with like a card, like a chip card that does just as much as a disc.
Well, do you remember a while back? And
it's like so much less can go wrong. Yes. It's not physically spinning the machine. Because I remember the old Xboxes, it just like would stop working and it was all about the way the disc spun or something. You had to like,
yeah.
And then it went red circle or something.
Yeah, red circle of death. Yeah. And like disc drives are big.
Yeah, they're huge.
Like, and if you look at the size of a Switch game case, it doesn't even need to be that big.
The case would be able to be like the size of your palm. Yeah. Like not even.
Little. Yeah, because even the PS Vita use little chips. And if you think about SD cards, they go up to like a terabyte.
Yeah.
And it's like games aren't a terabyte. So it's like not games these days like 100, 150 gigs for like big ones.
It's not a matter of space.
Yeah, so I wonder why they haven't moved over to some sort of chip.
They should.
Hmm.
Because chips don't make any sound, really.
Yeah, there must be a reason.
Mm.
But I don't. Maybe it's cheaper.
Yeah, probably much cheaper to do a disc.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Discs cost nothing.
Yeah. Whereas that's a actual chip.
Yeah,
thing.
Microchips are like hard to make.
Yeah.
Anyway. Well, let's stay positive. Please, EB Games, help Alex.
Please.
Get his PlayStation back.
How Alex got his PlayStation 5 back.
Hopefully. Next fortnight, you'll have my miraculous moment. Oh, that just rolled off my tongue.
I don't think we've ever had a good name for it.
No, because we never have anything positive to say.
Yes.
Hopefully next week you'll have something wonderful to say and you'll have a brand new PlayStation 5 shiny that doesn't sound like it's crunching on your discs for breakfast.
Next week it's like EB Games lost my PlayStation and they're not admitting it.
Turns out the whole company went under and they took my PlayStation with them and they set it on fire.
Yeah.
Good-o. Well, two miserable moments that could be positive for everyone.
Silver linings.
Silver tree.
Getting to know you, Qs.
Getting to know you cues where we ask each other questions. We ask each other a lot of questions.
We do ask each other.
A lot of our segments are like where we ask each other the question. Yeah. Maybe we have to stop that.
But this is designed by Berkeley to be, it's meant to be like science-backed questions designed by Berkeley to help you get to know someone on a deep level. That's the idea is to ask them in a short period of time.
Yeah, in like one sitting. I was going to say, but in song, but I got distracted.
Well, no time for that.
You ruined it. Anyway, so yes, we're going to ask each other a few of these questions and then we'll be even closer friends.
Oh, God.
Never to get rid of one another.
It'll be like right before I went to Europe and you found out about my whole past before I knew you.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway.
And I was getting pregnant. You didn't know.
Yeah, true. Yeah, you're saying like, all these things I don't know about you. And little did I know, you had a womb
active. I didn't. It was active, ready to receive.
Okay. If you could wake up tomorrow having gained any one quality or ability, what would it be?
Oh, quality or ability.
Yes.
And you can pick things that like don't exist.
Oh, good point. I didn't
like
think about
telepathy
that.
Telepathy or like... Or do we want to just cancel out superpowers?
I'm going to say it's in the realm of possibilities. Yeah.
In reality. Okay. Yeah. So any what?
Any quality or ability.
The first thing that came to mind, my knee-jerk reaction, was the quality of just getting shit done, like not procrastinating.
Yep.
Just thinking of something I need to do and then doing it in a reasonable amount of time.
Yes.
Look, I can already play the guitar, but I'm not great.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't mind being able to play the guitar really well.
Mm.
Like really well so that I can sing and play at the same time and play a show and it would just be like, wow, she can do both really well.
Like Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. My new joke was languages. And then it's like, what's the boundary on here? It was like, I want to be fluent in all languages. That's an ability. But like, I would say it's probably one language. That'd be cool.
Yeah, I don't know if it'd be possible. Like, I don't think you have enough lifetime to learn every language.
Oh, but I'm just waking up with it.
Yeah, but that's the ability not possible.
But it's outside the realms of possibility.
Yeah, like, is it possible to learn every language?
Wake up quadlingual.
Quadlingual.
That's enough.
Okay, that's
fluent
pretty good.
Fluent in German, Spanish, and in Japanese. Though then I thought about not, you know, getting shit done. It's like, oh, just to not have unreasonable anxiety and not overthink.
Yeah.
Imagine having clear brain all the time.
I would like to not be mentally unwell.
Yes. That sounds nice.
Doesn't it?
Because then you could go and do all these other things without being dragged down by the old ball and chain brain.
Ball brain.
Chain brain. Okay, next question.
My mind's in chains. Is that a song? No, I'm in chains. That's a song. And I'm like, I can sing really well. And I sound like a frog being beaten to death.
Well, you can sing really well. You just didn't then.
I wasn't even trying, guys.
Doesn't have auto-tune on yet. If a crystal ball could tell you...
Rude.
If a crystal ball could tell you the truth about yourself, your life, the future, or anything else, what would you want to know?
Oh. Mm. Yourself, your thought, listen.
Yourself, your life, the future, or anything else, what would you want to know?
Oh, my God, that's so hard.
Mm. This is the first question from the second set of questions, by the way. They get, like, progressively deeper.
So, here's what gets me. When there are questions relating to knowing something about your future.
Yeah.
That doesn't like sit in my brain right because I'm like, once you know, the outcome can't be the same because that's a future based on before you knew.
Yeah.
So will it still happen?
Yeah, I guess it depends on the thing. Yeah. Well, yeah.
If it's like an illness or something or...
Yeah. Yeah.
Car accident, right?
Like if you were like, how am I going to die? And you're like, car accident. It's like, well, I'm never getting in a car again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you could just be run over by a car.
True.
Is that a car accident?
If two cars hit you.
If you get made a sandwich.
And the cars kiss.
If cars kiss and you're in the middle, that's a car accident.
How did Lydia die? Oh, she had a three-way kiss with two SUVs.
I had a threesome with two cars. Turns out you can't. You die.
This is you in heaven. Huh? Telling, this is yes. you in heaven telling everyone.
Telling God. He's like, God, why didn't you give me a sign to not do that?
You only had a crystal ball to tell me.
I don't know. I don't have an answer to this.
Okay, I'll go first.
It's mostly about, yeah, you go.
Are you sure?
Yeah, go. Okay.
I reckon I would say, I want to know what career I should do that will make me the happiest.
Oh, that is such a good answer.
Oh, thank you.
Hmm.
Like if the crystal ball was like, go all in on acting, go all in on
and you'll
potting,
succeed. Yeah, yes, yeah.
And you will. Yeah. Oh, yeah. What will make me? Yeah, I'm still going to go happiest as opposed
oh, happy,
to succeed.
Sorry.
Yeah,
yes, yes.
Happiest,
yes.
Which I would assume would involve success. Mm. Then it's like, be a teacher. I'd be like, no, I don't believe you, crystal ball. No offense, teachers.
Shovel
just not
shit.
To me.
Shovel shit for the rest of your life. That will make you the most happy.
I'd be like, which shit? There's so many options.
What kind of shit? Horse shit? My shit?
My?
My shit? Is that my shit? Shit, that's good. That's a really good answer.
Thanks.
Do you have a hunch as to what that would be? I have no idea. I'm so unhappy.
I'm just very unhappy. I think I'm just so knotted in my head after doing this, thinking about it for so many years. Yeah.
Something overwhelming tells me that I wouldn't want to know anything.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
I don't know, because it's like I am overcome with these feelings of like exactly stuff like that. I mean, like, I wish I knew exactly what I was supposed to be doing. Mm. I wish I knew what path to take. I wish I knew if I was doing the right thing. And I think all of those things influence this, the reason that this question exists is because, like, we're all kind of so unsure. And then I think, like, a lot of the time people in our generation get so obsessed with, like, because we're spoiled for choice and we don't know what the fuck we're doing with our lives, a lot of us, and you know, especially if like you haven't picked a career yet and like you haven't followed like the stereotypical path of, you know, go to school, then uni, then get a job. And I'm like, maybe we just don't need to think about this kind of stuff.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, can't we just live our lives and that's enough? Like, do we have to be happy at our jobs? Maybe we just aren't going to be happy at our jobs and that's it, but we'll be really happy doing other things. Like, I think it's like, because it's unrealistic to expect to be happy all the time. That's the other thing. It's like we can't be unhappy. It's like we're not allowed to be unhappy or bored or like, you know, if something's not giving us joy, we're like, oh, we can't do that then. I don't want to spend time doing that. I'm wasting my life. It's like, but not everything is good. Not all everything is positive. Mm. If you didn't feel sad or if you didn't hate things, you wouldn't love things as much.
Mm.
So in my brain, I'm like, maybe I shouldn't know anything and maybe I should just like live my life and not worry about if I'm doing the right things or like what my future holds, because my future will just be what it is. And I should just like try and live my life without worrying about what I'm doing.
Yes.
So much. Mm. Like obviously still have goals and things and make sure that you're content and not living a miserable life.
Yeah.
But if you're like content and that's okay and you don't like feel like you need to like get that promotion and earn all the money and get $1 million before you turn 35, like just shit like that. We're obsessed with that sort of like culture. I'm over it. I'm sick of it.
I think you're probably very correct. Yeah, because it's a lot of like, I'll be happy when I blur.
Exactly.
And it's like, well, you probably won't.
Yeah.
And then you'll just have another goal anyway.
Exactly.
So it's like, if it's about the journey anyway, like maybe you don't need the answer.
And it's like always like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have done this job or I shouldn't have done this thing because it made me so miserable. But it's like, I mean, it's all just experience. It's all just life experience.
Exactly.
You wouldn't know you hate something or you wouldn't know you love something unless you try it.
Yeah.
Mm. So I don't know. That's my answer. How mature of me.
Yes.
I choose nothing. I don't want to know anything. I don't want the crystal ball. I walk away from the crystal ball, but in the moment probably wouldn't. If it really was in front of me, I'd be really tempted. But I don't know what I would ask.
Just ask about aliens.
You want me to ask about aliens?
Yes,
okay,
that's
push
my,
comes
second,
to shove.
Second,
if push comes to shove, I'll be like, madam, Houdini, tell me where the aliens are and why they're here.
Mm. How many alien civilizations are there? So many alien questions.
Yes.
When are we going to make contact with aliens? Are there other aliens?
But we have, and they don't want us to know.
How do we defeat the aliens when they come?
So Madame Houdini can go suck it. I shan't take her services. I shan't
take two.
Yeah, you can take mine, but you have to pay her my share. I'm not paying her 3 pennies to read me nothing. Who is she anyway? I've made her up.
You've made her up. Is she the literal ball or is she using the ball?
She's not the ball.
Well, it just says if there's a crystal ball that can tell you the future. And it's like...
Oh, so the crystal ball can talk.
I was like, why have you made
it? I assume there was someone working at the crystal ball reading it because crystal balls can't speak.
Oh, can they?
Maybe they can because maybe they're crystal balls. Maybe that's part of the question. Mm. Maybe that's a trick question.
Yeah.
You're an idiot for thinking that the ball
could
speak.
I just saw you images and it's like, what the fuck does this mean?
Ah.
Things that were, things that are.
Good. How enlightening. It's 10-Min DNM.
Today we are discussing aphantasia and what's yours called again?
Mine, it's called anaduralia.
Anaduralia, researched by Laura
Duralia.
Duralia.
I'm a bit confused because some things reference it as anaduralia and some things reference it as anoralia.
I'm sure somebody in the comments will correct us, like last week when I said Stinky Jack and it was actually Stingy Jack. So thank you.
Stingy Jack?
Stingy Jack.
I read it as Stingy Jack. But you're right, it's probably stingy. Stingy.
Yeah.
Stingy.
Yeah, thank you, Meg, and random guy from TikTok who
corrected us.
Whoops. This is why I got to cross-reference things.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, anyway, we're talking about basically how we think.
Yeah,
different ways people's brains work. So aphantasia is the absence of being able to think in images.
Yeah.
And anaralia or anaduralia is the absence of an internal monologue.
Yeah.
Which is
wild.
So wild to me, and we'll get to that. But
you
go first. Tell us about aphantasia.
Well, I've been saying aphantasia since I heard about this on TikTok like 3 years ago, and I've realized it's aphantasia, sort of similar to like asexual, like it's a lack of fantasy or whatever. Mm. Like, so it's a lack of the mental thing. So it's aphantasia. Anyway, so the Wikipedia definition of aphantasia is the inability to create mental imagery. And the condition was first described by Francis Galton in 1880, but research on it is still really scarce because I guess it's something that's really hard to study directly because it's like,
it's
in your head.
I read the same thing about the internal monologue stuff. Like, it's so hard for them to study it because you can't test what people are thinking.
Yes.
Like actually thinking.
So you have to rely on like them describing it, but you don't know how someone else's internal mental experience is different to your own.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Crazy.
And we'll get more into that. A note from Cleveland Clinic. Aphantasia means you can't picture things in your mind. And while most people don't have it, it isn't a disease or a disability. Just like being left-handed isn't a disability in a world where most people are right-handed. Having congenital aphantasia is no more than a difference in how you use your mind. Some people develop it due to illness or injury, but that's rare. So most people just don't have it from the get-go. I first learned about this from, I believe it was a TikTok. And then I asked all my friends about it.
Mm.
And a surprisingly large number of them have it.
Yeah.
And then it was like, it's really difficult to describe because it's all about, like, how you process information in your mind. So the amount of people who said to me, like, so wait, do you literally see images? Because I don't have it. I see things in my head.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, I'm not literally seeing it, but I can bring images into my imagination.
This is what people are telling you.
People are saying to me, people are asking me, like, when you say visualize something in your head, do you literally see it? And it's like, well, it's not like I'm looking at you, Ladu, right now, seeing you. But if I close my eyes, I can imagine exactly what you look like and what you're wearing and like the color of your eyes.
But it's not a picture.
But it's not a literal picture.
It's not like
picture.
You're looking at a photo. Yeah,
but I can conjure it.
So you're saying majority of people aren't able to visualize in imagery.
No, I think majority of people can. And there's different levels to it. So having aphantasia, I don't think is the norm. I think it's an uncommon thing, which is what they were sort of saying earlier about, like, you know, some people are left-handed, but you're not, there's nothing wrong with you being left-handed just because most people are right-handed.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think most people have some level of ability to imagine things, but some of them don't. So, yes.
Right.
So, yeah. So the amount of times I've had discussions with people and like, but like, can you actually see things? And it's like, well... Anyway, there's this really good example of whether you can like visualize a star and the different levels to what people can see with the star. So this is what was used in the original TikTok video that I saw.
Yeah.
So if you're if you have a visual way of listening, here's the picture. So there's six squares. One of them has nothing in it. One has like a faint outline of a star. One is a slightly more defined outline of a star.
And then they just get gradually more to the red star.
Yeah,
right?
Like, yeah, the fifth one is like a light pink and the sixth one is a red star. Like, you can see the red. And I think that I'm a five or a six on the scale because I can see colors. Right. I can, like, if I thought about purple, I can see how it's different to green. Like, I can see colors in my head. I can bring together any visual image. What do you think? So
what do I do? Close my eyes?
You don't have to close your eyes, but you can if you want. Like, what can you visualize? If I said visualize a red star, can you see the color red? Can you bring to your mind what red is?
It's so much harder with my eyes closed.
Interesting.
With my eyes open, I'm like, yeah, red star. And then I close my eyes and I don't see a red star. I can't be like, red star, and it come into my head. But... oh, hang on. I think I got a glimpse.
A glimpse?
It's so weird because it's like I can visualize it, but I can't see it.
Well, you're not... yeah, this is the whole conversation getting complicated because it's like terminology.
Yeah.
It's like I'm never seeing it. But talking to you right now, I can picture what a red star looks like. And I have the image of a red star in my head. But I'm not seeing it. I'm seeing you.
If I picture a red star, I can't... yeah, it's like not super crisp.
Yeah, right. So maybe you're like a four or a five on this scale.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Maybe. Show me the prompt.
This is the prompt.
Yeah, mate. Yeah, look, this is just so hard.
Mm.
I don't know. Maybe I don't have it.
Can you see, like, if I said...
like, picture a meadow. I'm like, immediately, yes, I can visualize a meadow.
With colors?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Interesting. If I was like, okay, green apple.
Yeah,
now, immediately. Red apple?
Yeah, immediately.
Okay, maybe you're just overthinking
it. Maybe I'm overthinking. I've done this a few times and I'm like, I don't see the red star. I'm broken.
Yeah.
But yeah, try it home. Let us know.
Try it home, yes.
Can you visualize the red star? I can definitely visualize it, but yes, I think that's where it gets confusing. And lots of people have been saying, I have aphantasia.
Yeah.
Because it's not like you don't have a photographic memory.
Yeah.
But even still, a photographic memory, that's different. You're remembering what you've seen.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not
perfectly.
Conjuring
you're not conjuring an image back in your head. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah. But
because I don't think we can, like, unless you're dreaming and it's like you're like, we can't just close our eyes and see an image.
Well, yeah, not literally. No. But I even wonder if you're dreaming, like, you actually seeing then. You're not, because it's still in your head. You just think you're seeing it.
Yeah. You're just, yeah, true. Anyway, okay, keep going.
Okay, so like, what does this mean? So people with aphantasia report not being able to bring the image of a family member's faces to mind or like a familiar place to them. So yeah, from Scientific American, they say most studies that have investigated this phenomenon are based on questionnaires that reveal the subjective experiences of those who are affected, and cognitive tests and brain scans also indicate that some people truly do lack the ability to form mental images. They have done brain scans on people who say that they have aphantasia.
Yeah.
So it doesn't actually seem to impair creativity, as many people with, they say many aphantasics or aphantasics are successful in creative professions and have ways to compensate for their lack of a mind's eye.
Yeah, because if you don't have this and you decide to draw an image from scratch and you can't recall the image of a dog, for example.
Yeah.
Can you still draw it?
Well, yeah, this is really interesting because one of my friends who says that she doesn't have any mental imagery, can't conjure something in her head, she is an artist and she does lots of paintings and drawings and stuff. But I think she said that that's her way of like trying things out. Like if she wants to, like she comes up with the concept of an idea, but she can't see what it would look like until she gets it on paper.
Right.
So that's why she does it.
So it's all just in concepts and language, I guess, rather than in imagery.
Yeah, which is really hard for me to understand because it's like my whole thinking is visual. But this is going to overlap with your stuff. Me too. I think do yours and then we'll discuss. Yeah.
Okay, I will do mine. Okay, well, I'm going to talk about the internal monologue.
Mm.
And it just blows my mind because when I'm just sitting by myself, it's like, my brain doesn't stop. I have like a few voices in my head going all at once. There's like 12 people in there like all the time.
Yeah.
I promise I'm not schizophrenic.
That's what I've heard a lot of people with ADHD say they experience, like multiple thoughts at once all overlapping.
Oh, so, it's constantly overlapping. Mm. But either way, when I think in a voice, it's not like a voice, but like, I'm like, I can hear everything that I'm thinking, right?
Yeah.
It's not just thoughts. So some people don't experience it at all, which blows my mind. And I'm going to get into that now. But I guess having it in a voice, I will just preface by saying it's not typically a problem by any means, but it can be a problem if it's affecting your mental health or if it's particularly self-critical.
Oh, I didn't even think about people who don't have an internal voice. Can they be self-critical?
Can they not hate in so many themselves?
Words. Yeah, just as a concept.
Can they walk past a mirror and think, God, I'm ugly?
Yeah, they just feel the feeling of
God, I'm ugly.
Wouldn't have the exact words.
But they wouldn't have someone telling them in their brain.
Ah, nice.
Lucky them. Okay. So the ability to have an internal monologue is thought to develop during childhood in what is called private speech, which is what I found really fascinating. So basically, if you grow up and you don't have an internal monologue in your adulthood, it means that you probably didn't have one as a child, because that's when it like all develops and is decided, essentially. So as children acquire language skills, they learn to engage in internal commentary and they work independently to take turns in activity, things like that. And childhood inner voices can also come in the form of like imaginary friends.
Mm.
And some people, I think, I saw this in a video, which I'll also link. Some people's like imaginary friends, like it's themselves, and it's that voice carries on into adulthood and becomes their internal monologue.
Oh, so interesting.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Anyway, so in adulthood, this same type of inner speech continues to support working memory along with other types of cognitive processes. Still, not everyone experiences an inner voice. You might have inner thoughts, but this doesn't pose the same type of inner speech where you can actually hear, in quotation marks, your voice expressing them. It is also possible to have both an inner voice and inner thoughts where you're experiencing both at the same time.
Right.
Because I've thought about that too. Sometimes you just have thoughts and feelings and things are not necessarily words.
Yeah.
And thoughts don't always express themselves in your brain as words. They're just like thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So why some people don't have it? So when you don't have it, it's called anadorralia or anauralia, which is the absence of inner speech. Researchers don't fully understand why some people don't have the inner voice. One 2009 review of research suggests an association between dorsal pathway maturation and the emergence of inner speech in children. So the dorsal and ventral streams are basically language tracts in the brain. And they think that your inner monologue is determined as a child by how the dorsal stream matures.
Right.
Basically. Mm-hmm. But there can be other factors too as to why it doesn't
develop.
Develop, yes. So why do we have an internal monologue? It is thought to be partially controlled by corollary discharge, which is a type of brain signal, and it helps you distinguish between different sensory experiences, such as those created internally and externally. And it basically helps to explain why your voice sounds different to you in a recording or on the phone than when you hear it yourself.
Yeah, right.
That's all to do with that corollary discharge. So even if you don't necessarily hear an inner voice, so even if you do have anadorralia, everybody actually does experience corollary discharge to some degree. And it's particularly relevant if to your auditory system in the way you process hearing and speech. So an inner monologue can help you hear your own voice while cancelling out other external stimuli. So if your internal monologue is stronger, it normally means that you're a bit better at cancelling out other things that are happening at the same time when you need to focus.
Yeah, okay.
And it's also particularly helpful if you are in an environment where you do need to think and process something where you're not able to speak. So like at work, in a meeting, at a speech, what do you call it? Like a lecture or something like that where you have to organize. Anyway, anywhere you have to organize your thoughts but you can't actually write them down, it can help with sort of.
Conference.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, helpful for moments where you can't speak out loud. And hearing your own inner voice is not harmful, but some forms of internal monologue obviously are harmful if they are related to like auditory hallucinations where you might believe you're hearing someone's voice and you're not.
Yeah.
So like schizophrenia would be an extreme circumstance. Less extreme circumstances would be if you have strong negative self-talk. That can be very harmful to your mood and self-esteem. So if either of these things or any of these things I've just mentioned are troubling you, definitely go and seek help from a mental health practitioner.
Yep.
If any of those things are bothering you, because they are not good to live with.
Hmm.
And yes, as I mentioned before, I watched a really good video on YouTube, which I'll link in the show notes. And I just had a couple of thoughts from that too. You should watch it. It's really awesome.
Hmm.
And this blows my mind. So one of the first things he says in the video is that like, because not everybody has an internal monologue, because there are people walking around the world with anodorelia, if you had telepathy, you wouldn't be able to read everyone's mind.
Oh, yeah, right. I wonder if people who have this who never heard of the concept before and watch those movies would be like, what the fuck is this about?
Yeah. Because it's like, imagine, like, just imagine, like, going into someone's brain, like, trying to read someone's mind and it's just quiet.
Yeah.
There's no words.
Yeah.
What's that like?
Yeah.
But some NPCs? But some people don't have that.
Yeah.
I imagine they're very calm and happy. Right?
Maybe.
I feel like it's just stress up here.
Yeah, well, yeah. Not always good.
I'm pointing to my own brain, by the way.
Yeah.
Anyway, so internal monologue doesn't include your feelings. So it doesn't include things like happiness or hunger. It only... or like sensory or noticing sensory experiences.
Yeah.
And it only refers to thoughts that are accompanied by specific words.
Hmm.
So these words usually have the same tone and inflection as your voice if you were speaking them out loud and accent and everything.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
So
it's like you have an internal British monologue.
Yeah. And it's almost always relating to ourselves. Your internal monologue's almost always relating to yourself and things that, like, you need to do and is, I think with most people, self-critical.
Yeah, okay.
And then you can also, I found this so fascinating, you can also experience something called, which I think we've all experienced, well, maybe not if you have anodorelia, imagined interactions. So kind of like when you recite a whole argument in your head or things you should have said that have not happened, but you can stand in the shower and have a full-on argument with yourself, essentially, or with someone else, essentially.
Yeah.
And you can hear it playing out in your head.
Yeah, you hear that voice.
It drives you crazy, right? Mm-hmm. And there was another part of the video, I've lost my notes on it, but anyway, it basically explains when you speak, your brain sends a signal to two places, to the mouth and then to, like, the... another sensory area of the brain, and then
Wernicke's area.
I don't know. And then when you see, this is what happens when I don't have my notes in front of me. But basically, when you're speaking, you basically are filtering everything you say.
Oh yeah,
twice. Like so, things are happening twice.
Yeah,
your brain's hearing it, and it's going to your mouth. So you're hearing it coming out of your mouth, but you're also hearing it in your head, kind of at the same time, simultaneously.
Mm.
And then that is what connects to the inner thoughts and to the internal monologue, the second signal. And that's why it creates it, I guess, in your voice. Because when you talk, It's going in both places. Yeah, it's all connected.
Does that mean people that don't have much of a filter maybe don't have an internal monologue?
Maybe. Mm. I can know because I definitely do and I don't have much of a filter.
Yeah, there you go.
False. Debunked.
False. Okay, debunked. Well, I guess this is where we say, what are our thoughts like?
Yeah.
You have some sort of visual skills.
I definitely have visual skills because it's like if I ever try to do something, I visualize it first.
Yeah.
I can't do something without visualizing it first. I'm a very visual learner.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really like listening. Yeah, I don't know.
I'm a fully visual learner. And this is what blows my mind about like some people. A couple of my friends have said they don't have the inner monologue or the visualization.
Yeah, right.
Which is...
I think that's common. Yeah. I read that they commonly go hand in hand.
Yeah. So it's sort of like you just think in like sort of more like concepts than actual words or images. But I'm like...
How?
Everything that I do in my head, if it's like planning my day or remembering something from the past or like thinking about something in the future or like... anything, I have to visualize something and I have to talk about it in my head.
Yeah.
So when I'm planning my day, this is how I explain it to my friends who don't have it. I'm like, if I'm planning my day, I'm talking to myself being like, first I'm going to do this and in my head I'm doing the thing. Then I'm going to go to the supermarket. So in my head is a visualization of the supermarket that I'm going to go to.
Yeah.
And it's me saying, I'm going to go to Coles and then I'm going to do the editing and then I visualize my computer.
Yeah.
And it's like...
Okay.
How do you plan your day? How do other people do that?
Yeah.
Is this how your brain works?
I have the same exact thing if I was going to plan my day, except when I'm thinking about all the things I need to do, there's like another voice on top of that or maybe a couple that are like, what if it rains? Do you need petrol?
Yeah.
Are you going to run out of money? Uh-huh. Do you really need to go? Should you be doing that in this order?
Yes. Like, I also kind of get that too.
All at once.
Yeah.
And the other thing I find fascinating is like, I really love making lists because it's like a visual representation of the things I was thinking, right? Mm. And I love ticking them off and I love having it in front of me. But like, if I'm going about my day and let's say I've made a list of things I need to do in a day, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can visualize that list. And depending on how I've like organized it and like color coding, like color coding is massive for me.
Yeah.
I will visualize the list as to how I've laid it out, like the pattern of the list almost.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, yeah, that one was near the top or that was in the middle or that's in the green part. Like,
mm-hmm.
And I can see it in my head. Like, I can see it right now. I can see my shopping list.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like all those things. But I just can't imagine not having those thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah, one of my friends described it as like she really likes reading fantasy books. Did you read Del Toro Quest?
Yeah, when I was in primary school.
Yeah, so she said, like, as a kid, she read those, but, like, she could never, like, imagine what the monsters and stuff looked like because it was all, like, conceptual, right?
So you don't even, when you're reading, you can't visualize. Yeah.
So then, they released the Del Toro Book of Monsters and it had, like, images of all of them and descriptions and stuff. And she loved that book because she's like, oh, now I know what they look like.
Oh, that's crazy. Yeah. Because, like, when I... say I've read a book before seeing a movie and I've visualized the characters because you do. You just fill in the blanks in your head.
Yep.
And then you see them represented in a movie and you're like, no, that's not what they look like.
Yeah,
like,
you've done it wrong. And how weird for all these people all these years having these conversations with people like, that's not what they look like in the books and being like, what?
What do you mean what they
look
like? Like
they know like if they went to a movie and it's like Harry Potter's supposed to have green eyes,
yeah.
They'd pick up on that, but it wouldn't be like, that's not what Ron looks like. He's meant to be like tall and gang. That, again, I'd have it as a concept, but it was not like that doesn't match my image of Ron.
Oh, this is wild. This is wild. If you don't have, let us know. Please contact us and let us know in some way if you have either of these things and how you live. Because neither of us know. Like, please tell us. If you don't think visually and you can't picture images and if you don't have an internal monologue, please let us know because I need to know what that's like.
Well, conveniently, I surveyed my friends beforehand. I was like, we're going to do a pod. Can I talk about you on the pod?
Did you do, like, field work?
I did field work. I gathered some data. But
shut up.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Because I've already had a conversation with them about this. And this is everyone. So, I'm going on a Disney cruise next week, everyone. And
Disney?
It's a Disney cruise.
You didn't tell me it was Disney cruise. You guys, I'm going on a cruise.
I'm going on a cruise, by the way.
And I can't do anything that we're supposed to do.
Disney. Of course, it overlaps with, yeah. Yeah, it's Disney themes. They have, like, shorter versions of all, like, the Disney, like, productions and stuff. Not all of them, but, like, some of them. Yeah. And all you can eat. Buffets.
I miss out on everything.
Yeah, you're not allowed to go if you're over a certain amount pregnant.
Really?
Yeah. Just in case you go into labor early, I think.
Yeah, well, anyway.
Anyway, so all I'm going, I'm staying in a 4-person cabin with 3 of my friends. All 3 of them have aphantasia, right? Just like random roll of the dice. Maybe they attract each other. So I asked them, like, how do your brains work? Because I'm talking about it on the podcast today. So Casey said, I don't really know what counts as an internal monologue. Like, I have thoughts, obviously, but not like I don't hear them as much as you can hear someone that isn't producing any sound. Whereas Jess said, I feel like I'm on a talk show 24/7 and constantly monologuing. No visuals, but it's very chatty up here. So
wait, I thought you said they just have aphantasia.
Yeah, they have aphantasia, right. But I wasn't sure about if they had aderalia.
Okay.
Yeah, Jess says she can hear others' voices, and if she sings a song, I think she means like she can make someone sing a song in her head sort of thing.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Like I could make you say whatever I wanted in my head. Have a fake argument, whatever. Yeah. Like, you know, I can make a whole dialogue between people and make them say whatever because I know what people's voices sound like. So she's got that.
But that's different. That's not like recalling something someone said and hearing it.
But it's if you're your making new ones as well. Oh, yeah, she's got a monologue as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then, like, I was reading some stuff a while back.
Or is it the same thing?
And it was, I think it might be the same because there was something about people can't hear songs in their heads.
Oh, right.
They have to play them. Like, right. You can't just, like, but I can play a whole song in my head. I know what songs sound like.
Yeah. Yep.
So I was like, can you hear a tune in your head? And Casey said, I don't hear it. I just know it.
That's weird. Like, right. How can you know it? I know. It and
you
not know hear it and
not hear it. Yeah. My other friend who has both, she says, like, yeah, it's just all conceptual. She's like, if you needed to visualize it, it'd be like, here's a big filing cabinet with concepts in it. But, like, I can't bring it. So I was like, you can't imagine your mother's face. She's like, no. You can't imagine what she sounds like. No. So she's like, yeah, if I, you know, I couldn't ever bring the image of my mum's face to mind if I lost all the photos of her.
That's really sad.
Yeah. Yeah.
You would forget everyone you know.
Yeah.
So you just don't know, like, because when I'm thinking about my friends or my family, I can see them in my head if I'm recalling something and if I'm like, you know, and I'm like, oh, yeah, oh. But, like, what do you do if you don't have that? You're just like, Alex. Alex exists somewhere. Like, don't know what he sounds like. Don't know what he looks like, but he's there.
And every time you see them, it's like, yeah, someone's.
What you're like, yeah. Are you like so stunned and thrilled when you see people? You're like, oh.
Oh, yeah. Well, one of my friends described it as like, if I lost you in a crowd, I wouldn't be thinking about like what your face looked like looking for you. But as soon as I saw you, I'd know it was you. Because I have like, I conceptually know what you look like. I just can't bring it to my mind.
So, but you could look for like, okay, brown hair, Caucasian, you know.
Yeah, you'd be searching for brown hair knowing that's a thing.
But you couldn't be searching.
But if you were looking at no humans, you couldn't imagine what brown hair looked like.
You just know it exists.
Yeah.
Oh my
and I'll
God.
Know it when I see it.
Oh, my God.
All right. Third friend says, this is how I feel about images. Like, I don't see Alex in my mind, but I just know what he looks like. Also, song-wise, I definitely hear it, but I wouldn't say I have an internal monologue. Casey said, yeah, exactly. I could describe me without any issues, but I don't see him. And when I've forgotten a celebrity's name and say I'm looking at him, I don't actually see them. I just know what they look like and I could describe them. So it's similar to, but very different to face blindness.
That's so weird. I'm like, I don't know how you can know something without, I don't know how you can know what something looks like without visualizing it.
Yeah, because it's just an entirely different way of thinking. But even when I'm trying to imagine their brains,
no,
I'm doing it in a visual way. I'm like imagining a gray void.
Me too.
Yeah.
Like, how do I understand them? Okay. Blank white room. Oh, yeah. An asylum.
Yeah, you're trapped in your brain. We have so many jokes in the chat. Like whenever someone's like, God, I can imagine. I'm like, no, you can't. Like, but can you?
Can you really?
Yeah.
So I was actually, you can't.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then they also make jokes at me. Like they're like, imagine this. And I'm like, oh, no. But like knowing that I will immediately conjure an image
conjure
and I have
image.
To see it.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Gross.
Far out. Oh, I'm fascinated.
I know. Brains are weird.
I would love to live in the mind of someone with no internal monologue for a day and see what it's like. But I've also heard that people, with ADHD that have taken, you know, that get medicated for it, all of a sudden describe that when they are medicated for it, that their brains are quiet.
Yeah, right.
Yep. Like it was just quiet.
Yep.
It was just, you know, the one voice or no voice, and it was just like, oh, I can just, and I would, if that happened to me, I would feel extremely unsettled.
Yeah.
With the quiet.
Well, there was a guy for the aphantasia thing, which sparked a bit of research. He went to his doctor because he's like, after I had this operation, he had a stroke, I think. After he had this stroke, he stopped being able to produce mental imagery. Wow. So he had it his whole life until the stroke. And then he was really distressed because he's like, I can't imagine anything anymore.
And you can't, there's nothing you can do.
It's gone.
It's gone. It's a part of your brain that just doesn't do that anymore.
So there it is. Yes. Please do tell us your thoughts and how your brains work.
Yes. Let us know.
Wah, wah, wah.
It's Reddit Reacts.
Everyone's favorite final segment today. You want to start?
Yeah. I just bloody love Reddits. I could just sit on there all day and read all these.
Yeah.
So this week we've done some true off my chest because I feel like we've done a lot of Am I the Assholes recently. But okay, yes, I'll go first. So the title is Looks Like You Can't Actually Die of Embarrassment. Wonderful.
Great.
Keeping it short, I was texting with my brother and he said something stupid. So I did the appropriate thing and replied with two voice messages, each consisting of a very nasty fart. Hilarious, I know. I can just see where this is going. I went on with my day and was wondering why I didn't receive a reply. Actually, I received no messages at all, which was suspicious because I've been exchanging salacious prose with a very tempting young man. You know where this is going.
Oh.
I went back to check the Messenger app, and to no one's surprise, I did in fact not send my farts to my brother, but to Mr. Sexy. It was left on read. I want to dissolve. I'm not usually a ghost, however, I feel like this situation is what ghosting is actually for. He will never recover from that. Imagine, imagine having like.
Are we assuming it's a guy? I don't know why, but I assumed.
Assumed it was a guy too, because girls don't send each other farts.
Well, this is why I was like, "Go this chick for farting on her brother." That's great.
I mean, maybe it is, but either way,
anyway,
if you were, you know, flirting with someone on the internet who you want to bang, and you. It's all like saucy and sultry, and then you send them farts twice.
What's your actual?
Where
farts?
Does that go? Like, what? How do you even reply? I would just be like, "Thank you. I don't want to talk to you anymore."
I think I'd have to be like, "It's best you find out now. I'm a farty boy."
But like, it's not even that. It's like. You've gone to the effort of recording the fart and you've sent it to the wrong person. It says a lot about you.
I think I'd have to say, sorry, that was for my brother. but
what do you, sorry, that was meant for someone else.
Like you eventually, do you fart in front of Nick?
Yes.
Like just let him rip.
You
know,
oh, yes.
You know, you just fast, oh, yes. You just, you know, you just fast forwarding.
We purposely fart at each other.
Yeah. I do it with my whole family.
Yeah, but, like, that's people you've known your entire life.
I know, but it's like if you, like...
I feel like it takes a long time to get... I mean, it depends, but it takes time in a relationship to be comfortable farting in front of each other.
You need to have
this
illusion that someone's really sexy and doesn't fart for a
while.
Yeah.
Or poo. Shall I read some of the comments?
Yeah, please.
He will never believe you, but tell him your brother took your phone.
Oh, yeah.
He says, I will most likely just block him. I can't possibly talk to him ever again. Bit drastic. Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. I generally don't know what I would do if I was chatting with someone and they randomly sent me fart messages. I would assume it's some kind of kink. That's the other thing. If you're only talking sexually.
Yeah.
Like, and then you send farts. Is it like, do they think that's what, like.
Yeah.
That's exactly my thought too, he says, because. We were getting it on via text. He must assume that's my kink. I will never recover from this.
Yeah, imagine being like really turned on and they send you a fart. But again, okay, so in all honesty, if I was really into someone and they sent me a couple farts and then sent a message like an hour later being like, holy shit, that was for my brother, that was not for you.
Yeah, yeah,
I would be okay with it.
So would I, but it depends on like if you've ever met that. Like, I don't think they've ever met. You don't know how far into, like if you've just met on Tinder, for example, and you've only been talking for a week. You don't know anything about each other and you're trying to keep it like poised and sexy and then you start sexting and then you don't know this person from a bar of soap and then they send you a fart.
Probably more appropriate than a dick pic still.
Do you know what I mean? It's like depends if you've been talking for months, then it's like, oh, ha-ha.
The sunk cost fallacy isn't too bad.
But it's like this person who is maybe, a bit odd.
I'd probably say, sorry, that was for my brother. Shall we call it a day?
I would probably say, yeah, I'm so sorry. So sorry. I had a whole cup of milk prior to this combo. No, I'd probably just say, yeah, like, I'm really sorry, but, like, that was meant for my brother. I hope that's okay. I would just see what they say.
Still want
to. I would definitely just laugh it off. You have to play it off as just something funny.
Yeah.
Because it's not that bad. It just depends on how they react.
Yeah.
If they just, anyway. Mm. Well, poor guy. But I think he's ghosted him. I think he blocked him. Well, that's that.
That's the end.
Okay.
Okay.
Your turn.
Not safe for work.
Oh, I love NSFW. These.
I had surgery with conscious sedation. I touched my doctor's boobs without consent. I feel like the worst piece of shit.
Is that the title?
Yeah, that's the title. Basically, I had surgery that had to be performed with partial anesthesia and received propofol and fentanyl for sedation and relaxation. However, I didn't react all too well to the propofol. Medical people, I'm butchering that. Forgive me.
Propofol. Yeah.
Instead of it sedating me, it made me talkative and euphoric with basically zero inhibitions. This is like my worst nightmare. If you ever took Ambien, yes, it's sort of like that, but much stronger by far. Since I never really suffer total amnesia induced by substances, not even when I normally would be a blackout drunk, I remember anything that happened. I even remember what I dreamed when I nodded off occasionally. I was talking ridiculous shit, totally embarrassing behavior, and clapped my surgeon's ass and grabbed her chest. The memories slowly came back after the surgery, and I'm so embarrassed I could kill myself. I feel disgusted by myself. I feel like a predator, like a low-level human. I'm literally so ashamed that I just want to die. I asked the docs if what I think happened really happened in the end, but they said I was asleep. I could tell from her gaze that she was lying in order for me to not feel embarrassed. I'm losing my mind. I wish I had still chosen general anesthesia instead of listening to the doctors and chose partial anesthesia, because risking to die would have been much better than this embarrassing shit. Worst of all this is that I can't even apologize.
Why not?
I guess because the doctors are pretending it didn't happen. Edit one. All those who say you would have been restrained. I got absolutely restrained with more drugs, but after a few minutes, I just woke up again and said ridiculous shit again. Edit two, thank you to all the people who helped me feel better. I just needed the input from outside to confirm to me that this can happen when under powerful drugs. Helped a lot. To all those people blaming me for it now, fuck you.
You can't be blamed for things you do when you're like pretty much unconscious.
Yeah.
For medical purposes.
This is the thing. And it's like, if these drugs are literally, and the doctor would know, you've been drugged to hell.
I know. So you're like, you're getting your boobs grabbed.
Yeah.
But it may not have happened.
Yeah.
The doctor may have been embarrassed by like the things he was saying.
Yeah.
If he recalls saying things, but he could have imagined grabbing her. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, the first comment is like, I was under conscious sedation, I think ketamine or something.
Yeah.
While my doctors had to reset my broken leg, I was convinced I was screaming, like full-on horror movie screaming for an hour, yelling at the doctors, telling them how much pain I was in. It was so vivid. The other thing I remember was I was not being able to move, like being a coma patient, fully aware, but not being able to do anything. When I woke up, I asked my doctors if I was screaming. They said I never made a single noise and that it was perfectly fine. They even looked concerned when I told them that I was screaming the entire time. So honestly, it could have been a hallucination.
Yeah, it could have been.
Because you were sort of like, I think
I hallucinated once when I was going under anesthetic, but like being put to sleep.
Yeah.
Forever.
Being put to sleep.
General anesthetic.
When you're being put under.
General?
Yeah. General.
General. Local is one spot, yes. I was going on general anesthetic to have screws removed from my brain. No, from my ankle. And as I was sort of like fading out, the doctor was like taking my moon boot off, and I just have this memory of him being like, I have a memory of him being like, I'm German. And I was like, all right. And I'm like, surely he wouldn't have said that. And then he grabbed my moon boot off my leg and he was like, won't be needing this anymore. And like yeeted it across the room. And I was like, I told everybody about this after it happened. And I'm like, surely he wouldn't have
Wouldn't it be great if doctors just like fuck with patients and do your little kind of crazy things like that. But maybe
he
did,
because he was a bit quirky and he's like, I'm German, you know, as I was falling asleep. But then I think your mind does weird things when you're going under anesthetic. And
you should have been like, are you German?
When?
When you woke up.
He wasn't there again. I literally never saw him again. I got woken up by the nurses and I went home.
Yeah, I remember coming out from getting my molars out and I was fully under for that. And like being in the bed and sort of waking up, it being sort of like semi-conscious and not being able to like...
Yeah.
It was a weird feeling because I felt like I was kind of...
asleep still.
Yeah, kind of asleep, but I wasn't asleep and like... not everything was real.
Ugh.
Yeah, weird.
Anyway, that poor guy, I really feel for him. If those things did happen and then he's blaming himself, that got real heavy, like real quick.
I know. It was like
real depressing.
Well, I read the title. I was like, this is going to be interesting. Then I was like, oh, it's just kind of sad.
Bloody hell. Anyway, all right.
Yeah.
Jolly good show. That's the end of another episode.
But we'll be able to keep making them for a long time to come because we've had the donations rolling in.
Rolling in. Thank you so much to Mel and Meg,
who have been supporting the pod.
M babes.
Yes. Yeah.
For donating in the last.
Megan.
Megan Mel. Thank you so much for donating in the last couple of weeks. We really appreciate it. We will put it to good use, I assure you.
Mm. And also for always having kind words about the pod.
Yeah.
Also very nice to hear.
Indeed.
Nice to receive kind words as well as cash.
As well as bullying on TikTok.
Yeah, nice to balance it out. Yeah.
Balance it out. Mm. Anyway, yes, you guys are treasures. But yeah, that's the end. 28 in the vault, locked away.
For another day.
For another day. As always, if you like what you hear, you can follow us on socials at Two Flat Whites Podcast, wherever you tango on the internet. And if you like what you hear, don't forget to share with your friends and fam. You can share our posts. You can share our episodes. You can share anything you like. Anything to support us is greatly appreciated. It makes a big difference and helps us to reach more listeners so we can keep doing what we love.
This.
We will see you in another fortnight. Thank you so much for listening, as always, for coming along the ride that is Two Flat Whites Podcast. And
we'll see you. Siesta forever.
Siesta forever.